You are listening to the Girls Gone Gravel podcast, a show for women who are chasing their everyday and epic adventures. This podcast is hosted by Christy Moan and me, Katherine Taylor, and powered by Feisty Media.
How are you?
I'm good. I have the child here that you'll hear about when we start our recording.
Nice.
I had to turn off the TV because she was laughing so hard in my last call that people were like, what is that?
I love that.
She was laughing at animal videos on YouTube.
So easy to do. She needs to follow Panda Gossip on Instagram.
Have you seen Orange Cat on Instagram?
No.
Is it fun? Oh gosh, I've got to send you the Orange Cat because it's me growing up in sports. It's like this cat. Like every time there's one like really athletic cat, every time the ball like hits the cat in the head, or there's one where like, the ping pong ball gets lodged in its eyeball.
Oh my gosh.
This is why I never played ball sports. This is me.
I'll check it out. That's awesome.
Orange Cat.
That's awesome. Perfect. Yeah.
So if you need a laugh, just find yourself Orange Cat.
Orange Cat.
Yeah. How are you? You're hot. It's hot there.
Kansas is on fire. So,
Not literally.
Not really. I shouldn't say that because literally there's
because
people that
Canada's
are dealing
with on fire and it's like right above us.
It's legit. Yeah. No, it's just, it's not only hot, but like yesterday it was at like 7, 8 a.m. It was like 95 degrees and no joke, 97% humidity. It was like just,
you can't even go outside and do anything, right? Like you can't. Because it's just miserable.
No.
And then you're exhausted if you try to go do something like run or ride.
And I think that for me, it's even worse, like going in and out, like going out into that extreme heat and then going back inside to like an air conditioned building. You're like, it makes me nauseous. I'm somebody that likes the heat. I love the warm weather. I love summer, but it started Sunday. Like it just ramped up. And then it's all the way to Friday this week of like 105, 106, 107, and then just humidity rates that are, you know, above 80%. And you can see it when you look out the window. It's like, just, there's like a haze that's just sitting there of like wet heat. It's gross. Don't come to Kansas right now.
Do not plan to.
You're sitting there in a flannel. I'm practically naked and Catherine's wearing a flannel.
I mean, I did live in Atlanta, so I did pay my dues for a long time.
You did. That's true. And I had a sister that lived down there in Georgia, and like, I went down to visit her one time in the summer and I was like, this place is awful.
My friend always called it the devil's asshole.
Yes.
It's an apt description.
I'm kind of wondering though, do you think the devil's asshole would be
hot
air?
Kind of moist and hot. Sorry, everyone. That was too much for you. Well, if you didn't like that, we're going to talk about periods today on the podcast.
Oh, we do. We talk about periods and saddle sores. So get on with it.
Just get ready. Fierce Hazel has been sponsoring the podcast. They might have actually just rolled off. So if you didn't get the deal, you didn't get the deal. But if not, we still have it. It's in the show notes. Hopefully they do, because their stuff's really rad. But we interviewed their founder, Frankie Holt. Like when they sent us their stuff, I started looking at her website and I was like, oh my gosh, she's got a really cool story.
Yeah, she's pretty incredible. Yeah.
And like, we get into it at the end of the podcast, but there's some ways she does design that I really love. So I think y'all are going to really enjoy getting to know Frankie Holt with Fierce Hazel.
Hey all, it's your editor, Lindsay here. I want you to get ready to ante up for the Ultimate Gravel Challenge this summer. Join us at the 2024 Trans Rockies Gravel Royale, where adventure awaits in the breathtaking Canadian Rockies. Experience the thrill of a unique 3-day stage race surrounded by stunning scenery on secluded gravel roads in the British Columbia backcountry. With two distance options, the full pint or half pint distances, there's a challenge for every level of rider. And forget about logistics, Trans Rockies has you covered. Fully supported with tents, meals, aid stations, technical support, and even massage services, so all you have to do is focus on the ride. You'll stay at the picturesque Nipica Mountain Resort, nestled in the heart of the Rockies, and celebrate your achievements with daily podium awards, group dinner, and custom designed memorabilia. After the ride, you can unwind at Chillville with cold refreshments, music, games, and camaraderie with your fellow riders. Don't miss out on this epic adventure. Register now at transrockiesgravelroyale.com and use the code GGG24GR100 to save $100 off your entry. The link and discount codes will be in the show notes of this episode. Embrace the challenge, conquer the gravel, and create memories that will last a lifetime. So go all in with us for Trans Rockies Gravel Royale this August.
Okay.
Hey.
We have made it. I feel like I have a child with me today. So I feel like my whole day is thrown off.
Well, and last week we talked a little bit about how nice and cool it was here in Kansas.
It's not.
I'm pretty sure we're rivaling the temperature of the sun this week. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I have my flannel shirt on.
Disgusting. Yeah, you do. And I'm like practically naked. I'm trying to stay cool. So, yeah. It's craziness.
Okay. Well, despite being hot and having a child that I don't normally have with me, it's my niece for a bit. We have a guest that I'm pretty excited about to have on today. We have Frankie Holt joining us today. Welcome, Frankie.
Thank you. I'm so pumped to be here I'm such a fangirl. So it's pretty rad.
Well, we're kind of fangirls too. We've gotten some of your Fierce Hazel bags and they're amazing. So
thank you.
Yeah. So we want to get all into the story of how you started the company, all that stuff, but let's get with the important stuff first. Tell us your story of how you got on bikes and how you started riding bikes.
Oh, actually, I didn't clip into a bike until after I turned 40.
Oh, and nice.
That was on the side of the Blue Ridge Mountains in North Carolina. I never looked back. It was great. I did bike. I biked in high school. It had like my Fuji 10 speed. That I got for Christmas that was, stolen a few months later. And then fast forward, I was in grad school at UCLA and I was going to commute on my bike, which I did, but then car culture got me, after about 6 months. And then life did what it did. Long story short, back to the bike. I was doing indoor classes, like spin classes, and I'd been actually obese for many years through my 20s and 30s. I don't usually bring that into the bike scenario because people always want to know, oh, did you bike to lose weight? And that completely separate, nothing to do with that. I mean, a little bit health and fitness, but it took me some time to kind of get my life together and kind of get happy again after some not great choices, life choices, should we say. So my sister actually for my 40th birthday, I grew up in Virginia and they bike and said, hey, let me take you on a little bike trip, kind of. We bike from hotel to hotel and it was just amazing. It literally changed my life.
That's not one way to jump in.
Well, yeah. It was great though. I mean, like I had a bike that didn't fit, I really had never clipped into a bike before. I mean, on a spin bike, but never like actual outside motion.
Well, it's super hard to fall over on a spin bike clipped in.
It is possible.
I know. but it is more difficult too. You got to give me at least that.
It is more difficult. but it is possible.
The getting on the bike and being outside, it did kind of change my life for the better. For the better, obviously. And I realized recently that I feel like we're all looking for a certain flow or a certain something. And I realized recently that feeling of being on the bike in the mountains, in nature, with my family and friends, like that is what I'm constantly striving for, is that initial feeling of, you know, freedom, all that stuff. But it's really, it's a good feeling when you have it, you know?
Yeah. Well, feel free to talk about this as much or as little as you want, but it's on your website. So like you had talked about, you came out of a challenging relationship. And I just was wondering, like, was that part of that freedom on the bike, like that you experienced, or that was that part of?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it was, you know, definitely, it was definitely not a healthy relationship, very toxic, mm-hmm. a little abusive. But part of my, you know, recovery and coming out of that was really working on myself. You know, diet and exercise came later. And that's why I'm often hesitant to talk about my obesity, which I had for years in relation to the bike, because of all the toxic diet culture. And it's just gets,
right.
I'm not a scientist. Yeah. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nutritionist. but I was getting healthier mentally. And I was divorced, and that was amazing being single. I was so happily single at 40. Yeah. And it was being on the, it was a good, progression, as I got healthier mentally and physically, from kind of being very much, I still am an introvert, but from being like inside, being inside the gym, I've always been kind of a gym rat. I do mm-hmm. like that environment. But I've never done anything really outside, you know, like I'm not a hiker. I didn't run. It was definitely part of my personal growth, looking back, feeling strong enough mentally to get outside. And it was amazing. And it was great to have that initially the support system of my sister and her husband. But then by the grace of like a beautiful universe, when I got back to LA, and I was so pumped on like biking. I'm like, okay, I got to keep this up. I just loved it, but I was living and still do live kind of in the heart of LA, and I had no idea where to bike, where to purchase a bike. Yeah. I knew nothing, like, zero. And by the grace of the universe, I met, the next week, the man who's actually now my husband, but he is a cyclist. And I had him at a function of, you know, party, book signing, outdoor thing. And he had just finished a like 90-mile ride. And I'm like, oh, wow. You know, like,
and that's amazing. Yeah.
Well, it was like, amazing. Well, actually brings to my point, like, is that, he's at the time he was, competitive cycling, amateur, whatever, you know, doing crit races in LA. And he introduced me to a group of cyclists here in LA that was, I hate to say it, not normal in the sense that they were like welcoming and wonderful. And, you know, you show up for your first group ride, road bikes, and they were an amazing group of people.
The way it should be when you show up for a group ride.
It should be. And it's not always. I mean, it's often not always. And I found that to be the case later. Just how lucky I was at this group of people. And there are a lot of like people of color. It was not the typical LA roadie scene. And that is like that feeling of feeling included and that you're supposed to be here. And we want you here is exactly the feeling that I'm trying to promote and continue. Cause it's so important. And really it's about mental health and just kind of being happy. So yeah.
Well, kudos to your sister and husband for like encouraging that trip.
Right?
Like, it's a switch got flipped.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's it cool. did. I mean, it did leave me, you know, so that was when I was 40. And so throughout the, you know, for like, I got, you know, pretty into it, the whole road bike. Yeah.
I was going to say, you didn't stop with that trip. I read your website.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was fun. I mean, I met the people I met, the other cyclists, I mean, it was a community, you know, and then I, as things do happen, I wanted to get better physically and began to kind of do events and compete. And that was good for a while. But when you don't start exercise, I mean, really exercise until after you're 40, you just don't have the muscle memory and you don't, I mean, it's hard to go to a race, and because the point of racing is often to win, you know, or like, and the vibe, that, and that's the thing is, that's also the vibe. I want to, but as I had put this nicely, after a few years, I found myself in a circle of cyclists that weren't necessarily healthy mentally. You know, it was that thing that you have to be as fast as to be as good as kind of thing, you know, and I was sucked into it. I was like, I mean, you know, I'm just a normal person. And I was part of that vibe. And then it got kind of be a little bit of a drag. And I know I've heard, like, there's this, so it was 2015, and there's this, and back then there was no, from what I knew in LA, no gravel scene. And I did Belgian Wolf Ride, BWR, in 2015. And so it was like 142 miles and, you know, however many million feet of climbing. And the cool thing, and what I'm still believe, is that what was fun was the training. You know, I was lucky again to have a nice group of really supportive men and women to train with. To, and I'd never been ridden my bike on dirt or gravel. I mean, I was afraid. And so the training for BWR was amazing for my personal skill level, just to bring the road bike onto a gravel road or a dirt road. I was like, oh my God, I can do this. You know, like it was a big jump for me, like just skill and also confidence level. It was great. But the environment of the particular ride, especially that year, was especially toxic.
I've heard about the 2015 year.
Yeah. In fact, a lot of the women that I knew in kind of protests, like, dropped out. They decided not to go, and completely valid. But I was kind of pissed off. I'm like, no, like, I did months of training. I actually even hired a coach to help me. Like, what do you mean I'm not going to do the ride? Like, heck no. You know, like, I'm definitely going to do it. I did, you know, I finished and felt really accomplished. But then there were still, like, kind of this, because my time was slower than other people, it was still about how fast you were. Even among us amateurs, like, it's just like, it just didn't feel real comfortable. As far as like fun, I don't know, you know, I mean, that's just my personal take on it. But then I did, continue to, train. And then there was an event, which was actually a very fun event, called the Everest Challenge in the Sierra Mountains. It was a 2-day event. Where over the 2 days, on road bikes, but you bike the height of like 28,000 feet in 2 days. And I trained a lot, like doing 20 hours a week. And I didn't finish. And then, so looking back, what was happening personally was, as a woman who menstruates, I was bleeding a lot, and also I basically had fibroids. And the week leading up to the event, I was bleeding a lot to the point where I saw a doctor, and I mean, everything's fine. There was nothing all taken care of. But at the time, it felt like I had a quote condition or something that was, again, like, we're all people in progress. I'm still, you know, especially then, but now we're still growing and figuring out how to be the best people we can be. But I felt as if it was something I couldn't really talk about. Like, it was my own personal thing that I had to deal with. Which was, I mean, silly anyway, but that's how, that was the reality of it. And then, so years later, I'll do a quick jump to when I started Fierce Hazel. A lot of the first products that I made were with that in mind, as a woman cyclist, especially a cyclist doing events where being fast and quick and being, you know, having short rest stops, was a priority, is that I often had to bring a tampon with me. And especially in those porta potties, like you want a little handy wipe, like you want everything quick. You want it right there in your jersey pocket. And you want to be able to access it, like be able to access it quickly. And so my first product was a little pouch called the Echelon pouch, which was, initially designed for road racing or for, to put everything that you needed in that little pouch. But what was cool for me, what I found, you know, as I designed all this, is that even though I had people who menstruate in mind, is that it was designed for all people. You know, a little slot, you can put a tire lover in there, a pen, a pencil, chapstick. Like, you don't need to, you can have universal design for all mm-hmm. people without being specific. And that was kind of an important lesson for me, I guess, you know, to be, to think about all types of people. Not when you design something, when you brand something, it's just an important, one of my core values. So kind of coming from like the roadie background, even though I was 40 when I started, it was important for me to have things that were super lightweight, and technical. Like I wanted to be like just as good as like the quote, the big boys, you know, mm-hmm. But be like woman owned. And on top of that, eco-friendly. And so that being eco-friendly and being a small company, I had to be very creative, and flexible. And so what my solution was, is to, all the initial products were made from leftover material called deadstocked, but from the factory floor. So I visited the factory, which is in Vietnam, for the technical stuff. And I was also the first and only woman they've ever worked with, which was kind of cool. But by visiting there, I went to visit because I wanted to make sure it was ethical and just a good place to make the products. But seeing they have this room full of leftover material and called dead stock. And then long story short, we use that to make all the first products, and all the products still are, have dead stock and old material in them. So,
that's very cool.
Yeah.
I have never talked to anybody that worked in the bike industry that was like, I made this with menstruating women in mind. Right. I feel like in the last 2 years, especially, everybody's talking about periods, but mm-hmm. like even this was 2016, like nobody was talking about that then.
Oh yeah.
No. Yeah. I mean, again, I was a grown woman. I mean, I still am. but you know, I mean, I felt embarrassed to have like a tampon showing in my jersey pocket. It's just, and I just did. And so, I wanted to find a solution because, I mean, I think that's valid, you know, a way to make things easier, like any little thing that you can do, like control the controllable, right? Like mm-hmm. any little thing that kind of helps you or helps a person. And so that was the motivation behind it. And it is helpful. I mean, it has lots of more uses, but, and same with the, I have a larger, like, wallet. It's called the Tour de Fierce wallet, and it has the slot in front is designed for a tampon. Most people use it for a tire lever or again a pen or pencil, but I'm kind of especially proud of that because it's not only is it I think well designed and really well made, but it's the lightest full-size wallet out there.
Like that's there's awesome.
no other cycling brand makes a full size wallet that's lighter than that. It's so I'm like, yeah, that was kind of like a little accomplishment.
That's the waterproof one, right?
Yeah, they're all waterproof. Yeah. The one that's the ultra light, it has a coating that can over time, but yeah, they're all waterproof. The one that's I call it the ballistic black one, the Tour de Fierce is a little heavier. And it's super, it's almost, I don't want to say indestructible, but I'm really very proud of the quality. Mm-hmm. And they're all like seam sealed and laser cut. and just really solid pieces of gear.
Yeah. I took that one to Canada. Like I did this trail running trip and it didn't rain, but they were like, oh, it could be completely rainy. So I took that one and I had like my extra charger, mm-hmm. like my phone charger. And cause you can't run at me, like you gotta take all the beautiful pictures. Right. And then my cables and stuff. And well, I was like, oh, yeah. This is perfect. It was like a perfect size cause it was waterproof, but it was like easy to tuck into things.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there's multiple uses for it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm big on picture taking. Like I try to stop as much as possible and take pictures. And so that wallet has the a slot in back, which was designed to keep your phone really handy.
Nice.
But another cool design thing, I made kind of a large pull strap for the zipper pull. And that was in mind if you have like full finger gloves on or cold weather. But then it's another kind of design feature that makes it easier for all people to use it. Just kind of being committed to designing for all types of environments.
I'm curious as to what your experience has been like being a woman, like building a company in the bike industry, in the bike space.
Mm. Well, that's actually an excellent question. Well, it's hard to know otherwise because I'm a cisgendered woman, so I don't really know how other people have it. I can guess. Well, for example, I started the business, a couple small products, was doing pretty well. After the first year, it was COVID, but even for COVID, I did reasonably okay. To the point where I had a distributor wanted to kind of take me on as kind of almost a business partner. And again, I'm always learning, but I kind of started this business because the dominant cycling culture, I didn't feel completely accepted, right? But as soon as like someone from like that industry was like, hey, we want you on board, I'm like, oh, cool. You know, it's like when you're high school and like the cool kids, you sit at their table, and then you realize they don't really care. And they have no idea how to support you and what you need. And because you're not part of their ecosystem. So it didn't work out. Kind of no harm, no foul, but it kind of set me back because I put a lot of energy into that partnership. It's when you're part of a dominant culture, I find it as a human being, as myself, be very hard to separate myself from it. Like I'm always learning. Like it's a not a struggle, but I very easily fall into like what I see is like, oh, I should be like that, or so it's taken me some time to get my head focused of who my people are, you know, which kind of led me actually to the gravel community, just making more of an effort. And the thing is, like, it's like the numbers are there. If you're looking at a business, I was just breaking it down recently. I forget the numbers, but I say there's like 14 million people in the U.S. who have bikes. And you break it down even more to those who ride their bike more than twice a week, and you have almost like 9.8 million people. Okay. And how many registered racers are there? Like 110,000. So like, come on, like the numbers of people who enjoy cycling, way outpace, kind of that, again, the dominant cycling race culture that it's easy to get sucked into. And I mean, again, why I really appreciate the gravel community is that what I see is it's people putting in the effort. It's not just saying that we're going to be inclusive. It's like that distributor person saying, oh, we want to take you on. I like what you're about. But not really putting in the work or the money to give the support that an outsider might need.
Would need, yeah.
And it's something it's Dr. Meg Fisher. Actually, she took this from her, but it's the concept of we all deserve a seat at the table, which is like, yeah, sure. But then there's some people you want to like pull the chair out for, you know, like mm-hmm. you can't just say, oh, hey, you can come, you can sit with us. But maybe you just got to get up and like give that person a little nudge and maybe give them some money or some extra encouragement. Like it's not just saying you want to include everyone. It's putting the effort. So for a business in the cycling community, like I'm not here to, you know, change the world. So it's easier for me to be in a community that I feel accepted. And that is actually, I've seen it. People help me. I mean, just because they're good people, you know, mm-hmm. going out of their way to shoot the product, you know, on the bag with them, or even some pros, ex-pros, like testing the gear for me and giving me their input. I mean, that's going the extra mile. Like, I don't know if I would see that in other cycling communities. Like people, yeah. I mean, it's really heartwarming. Like I'm not going to cry, but there's some people in the community that are just so helpful, and they continue yeah. to be helpful and real help, not just a pat on the back. So it's, the other thing is that my background isn't in gear design or in the cycling community. So coming into any kind of career, I mean, I've been doing it for a while, but late in life, like making the connections, I mean, that takes time anyway. But it's a little bit like the, again, I love the gravel community because it's more than just a pat on the back, you know, you see.
It's the family. Yeah.
Yeah. It's sincere. I think starting a business, being a solo entrepreneur by yourself, any bit, it's hard, you know, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of hours, a lot of networking, and it's, but I'm surprised. Like I've been looking, there's not another woman led cycling gear company in the US that I can find at all. There's a woman in Australia making something. There's people that do make things kind of custom. But I haven't found another woman making gear in the US as a company. Hmm. Do you guys know of anyone?
Yeah, I can't.
Because I've been looking.
I don't.
It's the Catherine, but I think it's her husband that makes all the gear for Moose. What's it called? Moose?
Oh, Moose Packs?
Oh, yes. I'm like, why can I not think of the name?
Yeah, there's a couple like. Yeah.
But couples. It's not like she's not the lead. Like she has another job.
He's the lead on that.
I mean, there's plenty of women. I mean, not plenty. We know there are.
There's women. Yes.
There's women.
Yeah, but it's different. When all of the responsibility and the planning and everything stops with you.
Yeah.
Right. And all the decisions. And I think like probably one of the reasons, I don't know who all's testing your stuff or helping you in the gravel community, but I think a lot of the women like have had to hustle so hard. Like if they're on the pro level, like they're having to work.
Oh yeah.
Two jobs and they're having to, you know, like they basically run a business called themselves. Yeah. So they get it. They're very good at, helping other women come along.
I mean, to that point, is a lot. There have been some, you know, pro women who have found my product somehow, and they often reach out through social. I'm like, I mean, they're hustling, they're working, they're above and beyond.
They're working like crazy. Yeah. I was thinking you were talking earlier about menstruating and being on your period and how we didn't talk about it. I do think that culture is changing, and that. It made me think one of my favorite quotes this summer was Paige Onweller was in Emporia for a month or so leading up to Unbound. And we were on a ride, like a group ride, and everybody's lined up to go on this group ride. And there's probably like 30 people there. And she just rolls up and she's like, can we start having honest conversations about saddle sores? And like literally just starts talking about where saddle sores are. On
Absolutely.
Her. And I was just like,
yeah, thank you.
And it was funny to watch all these men just kind of be like, okay, here we go. It's like, yeah, it's part of riding your bike. I mean, it's all part of it. And it's funny how, I mean, I'm hoping that's changing, but you know.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, yeah. Yeah. I mean, saddle sores also, I remember having, I made that kind of a point to talk about it years ago with other women, like give yeah. my tips, because I had some atrocious yeah. things happen at one point.
Yeah. Well, and we talk about a lot about menopause, obviously, within the Feisty yeah. network. And it's like, there's things that change that yeah. are not comfortable on your bike anymore as things are happening during yeah. menopause. And like, we have a talk, and like women just, and I'm definitely like, in the heart of perimenopause. And the other day I was like, I understand why people just like fall out of their communities and stop going, because I'm like, my body is not responding the way it has my yeah. whole life of being active.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating. And it feels like, what the,
well, yeah. you're confused. Like yeah. it's like, this has always worked and now it's not working. And even like finding what works, isn't a straight path forward for anybody. Like it's all different. And so it's yeah. just, it's, I mean, it's important to be talking about it, but you know, just because something works for Catherine doesn't mean it's necessarily going to work for me or work the same for me. And it's yeah. just, you know, those conversations are hard, and I don't, yeah, it's, it does make you rethink your why sometimes. And that's like, when yeah, you're so then, confident in your why, then it's like, what just happened? So
yeah,
it's weird.
Well, I mean, that's why I'm in love with the whole, all of Feisty Media and, you know,
yeah,
talking about sure. it. And because I'm solid menopause. And like no one talked about it, and the changes, and yeah, like you were saying, like you've been training a certain way or doing certain tricks, and all of a sudden, nope. And
like, where did this body come from? All of a sudden,
I mean,
what just happened?
Yeah, like you're the, you know, or you're like looking for your keys and they're on your finger, you know, or
all of it. When that amount of times that I do find my phone from my watch, that it's like literally right beside me.
Like, yeah, or even when you do it and you're literally looking at find my phone on your phone, like that's happened. I'm like, oh shit, it's right here.
Yeah. but it's also great, like finding, it's also that like women to, not just to talk about it, but to exercise with and to bike with at this age.
Yeah.
It's and that's why I love traveling outside of LA to go to events. Like I feel like I find my people mm-hmm. when I leave. I mean, LA is great. I mean, I'm not, it's totally
no,
fine.
It's just, yeah.
It's just well, a different culture.
It's also a collection of your people. So not only do you find it's just kind of a wellspring of like,
yeah, it's just
a connection. And then, yeah.
I mean, I love LA. I mean, great climb, great in Malibu. I mean, amazing road. There is some decent dirt that I take advantage of, but it's either kind of fire roads, a little easy, and then it jumps to like single track and pretty technical. So you can't do long rides without repeating yourself. I mentioned this more before we started, but my very first travel to outside of LA was to Patagonia, Arizona, to Yay. Go. Gravel riding, and it's a long drive, but it's a one day drive from LA, and it kind of like another moment that kind of changed my life. I was like, oh wow, this is what gravel, this is it, this is what people mm-hmm. talk about, like this is, you can just get on. I mean, it was just, I can't even speak, right? Because it was so fun, like that's my happy place, where it's a little bit harder. Also, I think about menopause and age and the type of riding that works well for my body now tends to be shorter, maybe harder rides, or, you know, more power, but not necessarily, you know, hours and hours on the bike. Mm-hmm. So I can feel really good with a 2 or 3 hour ride. Amazing on dirt. Like I feel like really satisfied, you know?
Yeah.
And now that I'm trying to travel different events outside of SoCal, I'm just freaking loving it. You know,
good.
It's just so.
Yeah.
I think
I agree with that, and I also think it comes with like, kind of building and creating your own business, right? Because Feisty, we're very much in a building phase, and I'm like, I don't have the bandwidth to like think about everything I need to go ride my bike all day. On a Saturday anymore, because I've got a lot of bandwidth that's going into building and growing this business. And so then it, like, I don't want another part-time job on top of it, which is like training 20 hours a week, but I want to go out and ride and have fun and just enjoy the experience.
Yeah. Also, yeah, we have a life. Like, we actually have a life, hopefully, you know, depending on what.
Depends on what time of year it is. Right now, I don't feel like I have a life. Right. We're got a feisty, yeah, strong course that's going on sale tomorrow. So,
but yeah, easy. I mean, I hope, look, there's, I mean, I find, you know, like women, you know, for many reasons, mostly it tends to be childcare reasons that women get out of cycling for a couple years or activity. And so coming into this age, whatever it is, 45 plus, like seeing people get back into it, is pretty fun. Yeah. And there's a different vibe that I'm preferring.
It's like a much less like stressed out about whatever other people think about you. And just like, I understand myself more. I know my goals.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like that external pressure kind of goes away. And I think
it melts away a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Where people just kind of, they're looking for the, and I think that's what attracts so many women as they're getting older into gravel is one, the safety.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to be on the road anymore. And two, just that sense of like getting away, adventure, feeling like you can relax. So
yeah. And it's not that, if you do it right, I mean, it's not that hard, you know. I mean, you need a little bit, I mean, it's a little bit of skill, but it's especially now, because that first ride I did, I mean, I remember back in 2015, like it was a big deal. I went up to 25 tires, you know, like from 23 to 20.
That was a big jump then.
Yeah, it was. And then
I don't think I've ever ridden on 25s.
Yeah. And some people are like, oh, I did 28. You're like, oh no, that's not 28. You must be, you know, not skilled enough. But I just, I put new tires on my bike this weekend, a little bit wider than what I had, and they're 45s. And oh my gosh, like so much more fun.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just, it's fun. I'm always actually surprised because there's not more, not just women, but people out, on gravel. Cause I think it's a real nice place to be.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Well, what's next for Fierce Hazel? Is there anything fun that we need to know about that's coming out or that you're working on?
Well, nothing new. Was we just launched the new the True Grit saddlebag and handlebar bag, I was pretty really nice excited bag. About. And it was kind of took about a year to do the product development, and that happened. Like a quick backstory is when I was at the factory in Vietnam making the initial small products, they were literally like, they were making these cocoon outdoor hammock thingies. I don't know how to describe them, but they would cut out a big circle of fabric and throw it away. Like literally this big circle was being thrown into the landfill. And it was about maybe 2 by 3 inch square oval thing. And I had years prior found this vintage Swiss Army bike bag, backpack that I kind of wanted to make into a product. And anyway, so that material, which was being thrown away, made the first, I call it the Urban Explorer bag, but it uses this fabric called olefin, which is an outdoor fabric that I learned about. And so the new True Grit line is made from olefin. But it is a petroleum product, but it's super eco-friendly because it's made from the petroleum waste. So when people make all kinds of plastics and whatever they make with petroleum crap, there's still waste that goes into the oceans. It's being kind of thrown away. So this material was invented in the 60s to use that waste. And so it's very durable and water resistant, and it's very lightweight, and there's no one else. I mean, honestly, and I mean, I'm going to say like the world or like in the US for sure, that's using this fabric to make gear out of. And I think that was kind of where my superpowers came in at the factory, is like coming in from outside the gear industry. I think you're more open to seeing what's out there and being open to something different. And it's been, like fully tested, and it's super durable. but I'm pretty excited about this material being used for cycling gear. So so that's they're brand new, and that's what I'm mostly excited about.
Awesome.
Getting that out and then hopefully in another year or so, kind of a few more products based off that. But I think it's pretty rad.
Yeah. One other thing I noticed when I got when you sent product to us was the little wallet, and then I went on your site and I looked, and you have chosen to create like a vintage look with women.
Yeah.
Kind of a Tour de France vintage. Mm-hmm. So kind of taking those traditional cycling where women weren't allowed and putting women on them. And so what was the thought behind
it? Exactly that. Like I love cycling culture, all of it, you know, all of the Tour de France, Giro d'Italia, like all the classic European races. It's just, I like it, but then where are the women? Right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to create this.
Yeah. So actually, when I did the first one, it was before I knew the Tour de France of that Swift was going to be, happen. Yeah. And so I literally was like on a street in Paris and found a vintage Tour de France magazine cover that I liked, and worked with an illustrator to recreate it with a woman in the lead. Some of the first branding I used was from a Italian vintage poster. And then some other ones, I use that, but put a person of color, like a male who's black as the rider, just because we don't see those people in advertising and marketing. It's kind of crazy that we don't see it more. I mean, it's not, I understand it, but it's, I want to say it's not, I don't know if it's my mission, but it's important to me that all people are represented and included. And it's not that hard. I mean, people, it's really not that hard.
But it does seem to be for a lot of people. I did love it, that because when I got it, I was like, I pulled it out, I was looking at it, and I think you had sent a postcard or something too. Mm-hmm. And I kind of did a triple take, and I was like, that's a woman on, like, this is like a throwback look. And so I went and looked it up on your website, and I was like, oh, this is really cool. And I do love that it's like, let's reimagine what our mind thinks is the history of cycling and just go like, everybody belongs in these spaces.
My background is kind of fine art, and I'm definitely very visually, I learn visually, and I'm a visual person in that respect. We buy things that are with boy faces on it, you know, or it's not that, and even my customer base, it's probably mostly, I mean, it's 50-50 or maybe 60 male to female, and people don't care, you know, as long as the product is good, looks good. Like, really, I mean, and if you care, I don't want you buying it. Like, if you're that person, I mean, every now and then you get that, you know, I had a review of one of my first products with the tampon slot, and there was some website that reviewed it, and the comments were like, oh, and they couldn't even say the word tampon. They're like, you know, that's for, and they were just, I'm like, that's cool. You know, you're not my customer, and I really don't want to be associated with that person because there's so many good people out there. I mean, it's really, there's so many, so many good people, and ethics drive kind of everything that I do, both business and personally. And there's just a lot of really good people out there. Yeah. That's what I'm going to focus on.
It's been interesting, like with this, like, cause we always do some campaigns around, like, we did some with the women's tour, and then we have been doing a soccer campaign on like our main Feisty Media site. And of course we've gotten some trolls. And then also like women that are saying, well, but men can do this too. And I'm like, they can. And like, if you actually look at the numbers, they are, like you're saying, like we have more men customers.
Yeah.
If you look at the viewing numbers for the World Cup and for like the Tour de France Sims, it's higher on men than women. So it's not like we're saying men can't do this because we're elevating women. It's saying like, we traditionally haven't been welcomed into these spaces.
Yeah.
And so let's take a minute to elevate these voices and to celebrate them, because men are already watching women.
Yeah, you're already there. They're
cool. Already buying your product, right? Yeah. Like, their voices have always been elevated. So anyway, it's just like been an interesting to watch that.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and also, I mean, with my business, when I first started, thinking that I would initially focus on like women only in the sport. And that, I mean, that changed just because of the demographics of who cycles. But also, as I learned, again, as growing as a human, hopefully always learning and growing, but that I really want to include all people, you mm-hmm. know, men, women, trans, BIPOC, I mean, all, like, not just...
Just humans.
Humans, yeah. And you can make stuff for everyone. It doesn't matter. I mean,
yeah,
tampons matter if you menstruate, but other yeah. than that, like...
Oh, and if you don't menstruate, like you said, you can put a tire lever in there.
Yeah,
pen in there.
Pen.
Like, how long have we been, like, you know, like, years? I mean, thankfully now there's more, you know, cycling kits, you know, for women. Like, yeah. how yeah. long did we buy men cycling kits with, like, chamois that were the size of a pencil, you know?
Yeah. Well, I love all this. Where are you going to be for the rest of the season? Are you going to any events to ride or to have a booth for Fish Saison?
My next one, or my first one, I'm going up to RPI, Rebecca's Private Idaho, which is fun. I really enjoyed up there. I went last year as a vendor, but this time I'm going to ride and just nice. Enjoy myself. I'm going, actually, I'm doing a gravel camp. Serena Bishop Horton does a gravel camp.
The special blend.
Special blend. Oh,
I was keep saying amazing. I'm going to go to that because I'm up here in Washington State. So.
Yeah, you need to go to that.
Have to.
I know.
I went last year. It was like just so well done, so professional. It was so good the first time. I'm going a second time because it was really nice to be at a camp that was for intermediate cyclists and get real coaching, like pros are there to help you. I'm doing that. And then there's an event here in SoCal called the Bovine Classic. I'll be doing that. And I mean, I would do more if I had the time, just having your own business. Yeah.
Right there travel, with you.
it's a bit, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand.
But yeah, the more events I can go to, the better, just for fun, just because it just nurtures my soul, really.
Yeah. Well, everybody should definitely go check out the Fierce Hazel website. And then where are the best places for people to follow you on social?
Instagram. I'm at fierce.hazel is okay. Pretty easy to find. And then my website. But yeah, I enjoy Instagram. I enjoy actually it's the community, you know, it's helpful. I mean, I love watching some of the recent gravel events that have the kind of the live feed on the stories. Mm-hmm. That's been like just so fun. I don't know, for me living farther away. It's been great. So I enjoy the community.
Yeah. Instagram. Yeah. We've talked about that in Feisty because we started in triathlon. And I'm like, triathlon needs to get it together. Like, nobody wants to sit in front of a TV and watch a live stream of a triathlon all day. Just do the stories like the gravel events are doing. And you can follow it the way you follow everything else. Like,
people are complaining about the way gravel events do it. So it's like,
people are always going to complain.
You want to consume media. Like, I think it's great because it's an easy way to check in. You know, it's an easy way to keep track of it and stay up to date without having to, you know.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit committed. In front of my TV all day on a.
I don't know. This girl here loves it. I mean, whatever it's working. It's fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's so awesome to meet you, Frankie. I'm so glad you came on. This has been great.
Oh, thank you. It's such a thrill. I mean, again, fangirl over here, but loving it.
You have been listening to the Girls Gone Gravel podcast. This podcast is edited and produced by the team at Live Feisty Media. If you've enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating It really helps other women find the podcast. And be sure to follow us at Girls Gone Gravel on Instagram or Facebook.